to do the first, finish up the first chapter of 1 Corinthians and get the second chapter. But as I began to prepare, I just saw a good place to go to that wanted to just finish up the first chapter. And it's a good thing because service has been good, and it's at times like this you debate whether you should really even teach or not. But I like to teach. I like to teach the Word of God, and that's what I want to try to do. Sometimes the preach jumps in there, and I'll start running around and jumping, but I'm going to try to stick to my notes. If I stick to my notes, we'll be out of here shortly. If I preach, we'll just have to stop, because I've got about 4 or 5 pages here, and I can't get going on it too much. I want you to stand with me and pray, and then you'll be seated for 45 minutes to an hour or something like that. And then we'll continue our fellowshipping. Amen. I want you to stretch your hands out. Pray for me. Father, I just want to receive the prayers of the saints. Father, our desire is to share the Word of God. Father, I ask you to allow the gifts and the callings that are in my life to come forth. And as a sower, go forth and sow the seed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Now I want you to put your hands on your hearts and let me pray for you. Father, I pray for the people. Father, I pray that the seed of God will fall into their hearts and produce good fruit. And Father, we'll have the wisdom of God. We'll understand more about the wisdom of God tonight. And Father, I just ask you to open up those things to us. Father, I bind powers and principalities that will hinder us, that will try to keep the word from coming into us. I bind them in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of ministry, the spirit of teaching right now in the name of Jesus. We all say, amen. Amen. Be seated. We have began this study, and we saw that the Corinthians had a lot of problems. And every chapter deals with another problem. And these problems are directly related to the church today. We saw that in chapter 1, and specifically verses 10 through 17, Paul dealt with the very first problem, which was divisions or factions in the church. How that they were of this group and how they were of that group. Some were of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Cephas. And then there was the spiritual snobs that was of the church at Lafayette. I trust that's not true. We do kind of have that reputation in town. It is improving. And it's not as bad as it used to be. But there was a time when we were looked at as those guys that we talked about the other week that followed no man and had no authority and no order. And it is changing. People are learning us and finding out that we are different. But Paul answered that problem for us, and he answered it actually with a question, and he says this: Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, what you're doing is you're starting to look at me, you're starting to look at Peter, you're starting to look at Apollos when you really need to be looking at Jesus. I wasn't crucified for you. You weren't baptized in my name. Peter wasn't crucified for you. You weren't baptized in Peter's name. Jesus Christ is the one that you need to be looking at. And when we learn that in the church, that we'll stop coming over to hear Delbert preach or going over to hear Warren preach, and we'll find where God really wants us to be and wants to plant us at, and start looking for Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the divisions will end in the body of Christ. The purpose is to find where God wants us at and then get planted there. Now, he answered that with that question. I don't want to linger because I've already preached that. But I want to get into what I want to talk about tonight, which is chapter 1, verse 17 through verse to the end of the chapter 31. And he's going to talk about two problems here, or two questions, and that are attached to this in part. But yet he's going on. He's not through dealing with this problem of divisions because he brings it up again in the first part of chapter 3. But there are two things that we want to look at tonight, two problems or two questions that were in the church then and are in the church now, and cause people to go to this place or to that place or to that place or to that place and have divisions among us. And it's the search for power and the search for wisdom. And Paul's going to deal with both of these things here. People really do want to find where real answers are. That's one reason they go from different place to different place. They want to find out the answers of life. The other reason that they go around is they want to see the signs of the power of God. They want to see something happening in the church. They want to see the power of God manifested. And Paul is going to deal with both of these in these verses. And I want to read them, and then we'll talk about them. So I don't know what translations that you have. I like all of them. I'm not one of these guys that say you got to read this particular translation. They're all good. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is good. And I want to read verse 17 through verse 31. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, but the cross of Christ, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. My intention tonight was to go on and finish up chapter 2. But there's so many things in here that I just want to bring out. And I want to try to say them as quickly as I can. Now, it's still a question today. People are still searching for answers. And this is one reason that they go from this place to that place and they go around. And they're still searching for God and for His power. It's still going on today. What Paul says here initially is that he was not sent to baptize. He says, I didn't come to baptize. Now, he's not saying here that baptism is not important. He has just said before that he didn't baptize many of you, except the house of Stephanas, except this one and except that one. So it's not that he's saying baptism isn't important. Baptism is important. But that was not Paul's message. Paul's message was not water baptism. Paul's message was not Holy Ghost baptism. What Paul's message was Christ crucified and the cross of Christ. And he says the reason that I preach the cross of Christ is so that it won't be made void. We preachers have a tendency to get hung up on a particular doctrine. Pentecostals like to get people baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Nothing's wrong with getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Baptist preachers like to get people to pray a prayer of salvation and get them water baptized. Nothing wrong with confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and getting water baptized. Episcopalians and Protestants, they like the sacraments and the communion and the order and the structure. Nothing's wrong with order and nothing's wrong with structure. But when you preach the cross of Christ, you get Holy Ghost baptism. When you preach the cross of Christ, you get water baptism. You get Holy Ghost baptism. You get initial salvation. You get order. You get the whole ball of wax. It's not that Paul is saying that that's not important, but when you preach Christ and Him crucified, you get all of it. And that's what Paul came to preach. It's not important how many people I water baptize. It is important that I minister to you the cross of Christ. And Paul says, I didn't come to preach baptism. I come to you preaching the cross of Christ so that it would not be made void. I think the King James Bible there says, made none effect. That's what it says. What does the cross of Christ not affect? Is there anything that the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, did not affect? And when I preach the cross of Christ, if I preach it like Jesus preached it, like Paul preached it, like the apostles preached it, if I preach it right, I will touch every area of your life. If I preach the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the cross of Jesus Christ, what He came to do, then there is not a single area that you can hide from it. It is a light. And when it comes into your very being, there's nothing that can hide from that light. Paul says, I didn't come preaching baptism. I come preaching Christ. I come preaching the cross. I come preaching the gospel. Paul preached the gospel so that the cross of Christ would not be made void or be made of none effect. And I want you to know tonight, there is nothing that the cross of Christ did not touch. Then in verse 18, the King James Bible there says, are saved, as many as are saved. The NASB Bible, the Bible that I read out of at this point in time, says are being saved. Let me read it again. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Who are being saved. King James Bible says who are saved. Do you understand that you were saved, you are being saved, and you shall be saved? There was a point in time when your whole life changed because of Jesus Christ and the cross. But right now you're changing. You're being saved. And guess what? Tomorrow, you'll be saved again. Now that's what salvation is. Let me explain to you what biblical salvation is. Biblical salvation is not praying a prayer, shaking a preacher's hand, and signing a membership card. Well, biblical salvation, we'll find it in the book of Exodus, which is where salvation is used its first time. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And what was happening at that point in time is the Red Sea opened up and they walked across on dry land. But what happened prior to that is there was those 10 plagues that fell on Egypt. Was Israel delivered from those plagues? Then they plundered Egypt. Then vengeance was executed on Egypt, and then they walked free. What biblical salvation is our daily deliverance from the devil. The world is going through all kinds of plagues right now. Am I right? There's an AIDS epidemic out there. All kinds of plagues. You want to get out there in the world, you can get those plagues. But God's deliverance and God's salvation, and you walk in Him, will keep you away from there. You can stay in Goshen. You can stay out of the plagues. There is daily deliverance from the devil in God's salvation. Do you believe that? It's today, it was yesterday, and you walk in it tomorrow, I hope. Now, also there's the plundering of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of God. Just as they went and plundered, then what we need to be doing is plundering the kingdom of darkness. As we go forth and we start ministering and witnessing, we begin plundering and bringing people out of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. We start plundering the kingdom of darkness and bringing the monies into the kingdom of light. Bringing the people into the kingdom of light. Bringing the service into the kingdom of light. Bringing everything that was in the world at one time and in darkness, now we bring it into the kingdom of light. begin to plunder. Your family can be saved if you're brought out of darkness and plunder the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. There's a plundering that happens in salvation. Then the third thing that happens is vengeance will be executed upon the devil. What is his future? Is he going to be cast into the bottomless pit? Okay. And what we've got to understand, you see, is that that's what salvation is. Salvation is not praying a prayer, shaking a preacher's hand, and signing a membership card. You were saved, you're being saved, and you shall be saved. Salvation is ongoing. You should be being saved every day from the devil. You should be plundering darkness. Your money should be filtered into the kingdom of God, not into the kingdom of darkness. Your family should be funneled into the kingdom of God and not into the kingdom of darkness. Your whole being, you should be plundering the kingdom of darkness. And then you should be seeing darkness, the vengeance of God executed upon darkness. And you're seeing that. And that's what biblical salvation is. It's God's daily deliverance from the devil. That's the best definition that I can give you for what God's real salvation is. It's God's daily deliverance for you from the devil. Now, what I want to say here is what Paul is saying is that we are being saved. And the first thing that he begins to deal with this being saved thought, is the power of God. Now, according to the Bible that's laying in your lap, in verse 18, what is the power of God? The gospel or the word of the cross? The preaching of the cross. That is the power of God. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But that's the first thing that Paul begins to deal with here is the true power, the real power of God. It's preaching the cross. Let me say it this way. People are not saved, they're not daily delivered from the devil by the cleverness of speech. If I come into here in here and I've got a bunch of degrees and I can quote poems and preach you some dead sermon and get you out of here by 11:45, is there any power in that? It won't save anybody, will it? It won't deliver anybody from the devil. There's not, Paul says here, I didn't come to you with cleverness of speech. He says, I come to you with demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we really got to be looking for. It's the power of God is the preaching or the teaching or the word of the cross. It's not by cleverness of speech. It's not by degrees. It's not by my opinions, and it's not by my theories. And if I come into you giving you my opinions and my theories and some little speech that I've got worked out and my opinion on something, there is no power in that. And it's sad that a lot of times that's what you find. And that's why people are going to Peter's church and to Apollos' church and to Paul's church, and they come over here and go to church. That's why they're doing that. It's because people aren't finding the power of God. They're finding degrees and opinions and they're finding theories and all these things, but they're not finding the power. So what Paul first deals with here is the power of God. Paul deals, first of all, with the power of God. And then in verses 19 through 21, Paul deals with true wisdom. He deals with true wisdom. In verse 20, he says this, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" What I want to say is, come on, world. Let me see your great answers to life. And as I thought about this and I meditated on this, I got about 7 or 8 thoughts here. And I wrote them down. I said, "Dr. Ruth, how do marriages do when they're not built upon the sayings of Jesus Christ?" There's Dr. Ruth's wisdom. She'll tell you to have sex in the backseat of a bus, but that won't make your marriage. And when hard times come and floods come, what's going to happen is it's going to fall. Dr. Spock, how do children do when they're not raised in the way that they should go? You can get Dr. Spock's wisdom. You can read his books about how to raise your children. And you'll get the results of what he said. How's your finances, Donald Trump? That's the world's wisdom. How's your health, Liberace? Rock Hudson? Where is wise men? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Now, we kicked up the air conditioning. I'm already seeing some moving around. So I suppose that it's getting cool. Is this correct? Okay, let's cut the one off in the back. And then we'll go from there. Okay, here's another one. How's your life doing, Noriega? There's the wisdom of the world. How's your regime, your Babylon, doing, Saddam Hussein? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the wisdom of the world. This is the answers that the world has. They just don't work. Paul says, where is the wise man? How's your nation doing, Stalin, Khrushchev, Gorbachev? See, has not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? How's your welfare program doing, America? See, there's no wisdom in the world. And all of these examples that I've given you were man's wisdom based on fleshly desires and fleshly wisdom of man. And Paul says here, where is the wise man? Man's wisdom will not deliver you or me or anybody from the devil. There is only one thing that will deliver you and me from the devil, and that's the preaching of the cross of Christ. And then that must be activated into your life, and the blood of Jesus Christ must be brought in. Someone defined philosophy or the world's wisdom, kind of those things that I just kind of gave you some examples about. Someone defined philosophy as a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. There is no wisdom in the world. And what Paul is saying and what I try to say to you just about every week is if you do it the way the world says to do it, it will crumble, it will fall, you will not have peace, you will not have joy, you will not have righteousness in your life, your children will rebel, your marriage will crumble, your workplace, you'll lose your job, everything will fall down around. Listen, folks, I have been there. I have tried both. Only one works. One might work for a season and seem good, but I promise you it will fall. There is no wisdom in the world. The only place there is true wisdom is in the cross of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking what you have heard and learned and applying it in your life, letting it be like a seed that falls into your heart and then produces fruit. Then you can have righteousness and peace and joy. Then you can live prosperously. You can think right. Your children will be well off. You'll do good. And you'll be saved. You'll be daily delivered from the devil. There's just no wisdom in the world. And then verse 21 through 25, Paul divides everybody into two ethnic groups. He says there's Jews and there's Gentiles, or my Bible says Greeks. King James, I believe, says Gentiles. But there's two ethnic groups, the Jews and I'll probably say Greeks. Now, you and I fit into one of these. Every person here, you're looking for one or maybe both of these. You and I will fit into one or maybe both of these. And he says the Jews, they want to see a sign. They want to see the power of God. And he says the Greeks, they want reason. Or they want wisdom. They want it to make sense. They want it to compute. Now, you and I fall into one of those categories. We want to see signs and wonders and the power of God the way we want to see them. Or either we want it to reason. We want it to compute. And now Paul deals with this. Because he says now, but when you preach Christ crucified, when people come in here and I preach Christ crucified, if they're in the Jew category, it's a stumbling block to them. And if they're in the Greek category, it's foolishness. We did this thing a while ago. Now, to some of us, it seemed foolishness. Which category would that put you in? Does the Bible say dance before the Lord? Does the Bible say do it with all of your mind? Okay. Does the Bible say hallelujah, act like a fool before God? And if that was foolishness to you, then you would fit in that category. And that's not demeaning anybody. That's just saying that's where you're at. If you come to church and you want to see the power of God, then you're a Jew. You fit in that Jew category, and that's what you want to see. And eventually you'll stumble, or eventually you'll say, that's just foolishness, and I'm going to go over to Paulus' church. Let's deal with the Jew first. It was a stumbling block. The word stumbling block is actually skandaleo in the Greek. We get our word scandal from it. What the Jew wanted was a conqueror who would come in on a white stallion, who would overthrow the Roman Empire. That's what they wanted. They had boasted about that. That's what they had boasted about. Our Messiah is going to come in and he's going to crumble the Roman Empire. But what they got was a crucified Christ, a man nailed to a cross. And that was a scandal to them. That embarrassed them. And they stumbled. They could not follow a crucified Christ. They could not continue on with God, go into the next level, the next age, the next dimension with a man who died on the cross. They couldn't do that. That was not their Messiah on the white charger. And if you're a Jew and you have expectations of me and I don't live up to those expectations, I'll become a scandal to you. I'll embarrass you. You'll bring people here for me to minister or say just the right thing the right way. I'm not coming down there. I'll start preaching. I'll stay right here. And I won't live up to your expectations. And you'll stumble because you won't be able to follow me. You won't be able to go on with God with me because I won't bring the power of God exactly the way that you want it. How am I doing? And you will go to Apollos' church. Or maybe Peter. Peter probably had more signs and wonders than Apollos did. If you're a Greek, and this thing's foolishness. See, Pilate asked, what is truth? Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and all those great philosophers, they all tried to find the formula. They all wanted to find the answers to life. And so they did it with reason. And if you come here and you want this thing to reason, if you wanted to make some sense while we ran around this building a while ago, it won't do it. And you'll say, man, I ain't doing that. I'm going to go to Apollos' church because he's eloquent. They don't do that over there. Am I making sense to you now? Are you hearing me? This is okay, isn't it? I don't want to make anybody mad. And that's what we've getting into. You see, that's what Paul is really dealing with here. He says, in your body, you've got two basic groups of people. You've got the Jews and you've got the Greeks. And these people want to see this, and these people want to see this, and to these people it's supposed to reason, and these people want to see the power of God and the signs and the wonders. And you've got to live up to their expectations. You've got to do what they want you to do. And he says, and it's not going to work that way. Not if you preach Christ and Him crucified. What the Greeks wanted, they wanted it to compute. How could answers to life, wisdom, how could that be found in a crucified man? How could wisdom be in the blood of a crucified man? How could a crucified man hanging on a cross be the Son of God? It just didn't compute. I don't know if any of you, some of you I'm sure do, are somewhat familiar with computers. And every once in a while, that thing will black out. The screen will just black out. And this little sign will come up there and says, does not compute, need more data. And I know that a Greek had to make that. And that's what happens. This doesn't make sense. It does not compute. I need more data. Error, error, error. And that's how it fits to you if you're in that category. Now, I'm probably in a little bit of both. I want it to make sense, but I also want to see things live up to my expectations. But my expectations don't mean anything. And it making sense sure doesn't mean anything. The only thing that means anything is Christ and Him crucified. Because He has become unto me wisdom and sanctification and redemption. He's become unto me everything that I'll ever need. So what is the answer? What is the answer? Well, He gives it to us in verse 24. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you want to see a sign, listen to me. If you're a Jew and you want to see a sign, if you want to see the power of God, then you look at my life. What you're looking at, you look at my life, what you will see is a guy that did alcohol, a guy that would smoke, a guy that would cuss, a guy that would do anything to have fun and enjoy life and find some answers. A guy that wasn't faithful, the power of God changes that. He can deliver me daily from the devil. He saved me then, he's saving me now, and I'll be more saved tomorrow. If you want to see a sign, look at my life. Find somebody that lives for Jesus Christ, that applies His principles to his life or her life, and you'll see a sign. You'll see the power of God. And I believe that everybody in here could testify to that very same thing. You want to see a sign, look at my life. And the answer to wisdom is the same thing. You want to see wisdom? Find somebody that orchestrates and orders their life by the word of the cross. There'll be answers there. You want answers? You go to that person and ask them questions. That person has made their marriage work. That person has made their finances get in order. That person has raised their children correctly. It's that person that's got your answers. I got to get back up here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Christ has become to the Jew the sign. The power of God is the word of the cross. It'll change anybody that word gets into. You get around me long enough, the word of God will get in you, and I promise you, you'll change. The wisdom of God is in the word of the cross. You get around me, you'll be talking to me, you'll get answers for your life. It works, it works, it works. There is power, there is signs in the word of the cross. And that's what Paul is here saying. Christ is the power to save or deliver you and the wisdom to keep you delivered. Do I need to say that again? Christ is the power to deliver you and He's the wisdom to keep you delivered. In verses 26 through 31, Paul tells us that we didn't have anything to do with our being chosen of God. Three or four times through there he says, chosen of God. Chosen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. See, we live in this deluge. We live in this thing that we get to make the decision. That we wake up one day and we say, well, today I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to be a Christian. It doesn't work that way. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Write it down. Don't look it up right now. But write it down. Look it up later. It says this. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you really want to know when you were chosen in Him? Do you really want to know? You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Now that's what the Bible says. And we think that we get to choose God. No, no. If you could do that, you could boast. By grace, you are saved through faith. And that's not of your own. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. You could boast how you got your salvation. And Paul's going to say that again in just a second. In John chapter 6, verse 44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. No one. He told his disciples, he says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And he spends these verses here amplifying that again. Now, why don't we get to choose Him? Why don't we get to wake up one day and choose Him? Well, there it is in verse 29. And if you got your Bible, you just look at it. Verse 29 says, that no man should boast before God. And I just quoted to you Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You can't boast on how you got yourself saved. It has only been through the word of the cross. It has only been because He chose you from the foundations of the world. It is only because He, by His grace and His mercy, touched your life and touched your heart and drew you to Himself. We sang that song tonight again. We sang it this morning. How our arms are open wide to embrace Him. And then we sing, draw me to yourself. And that's exactly the way it works. He draws us. Some of us, I told you this morning, you know, I was talking this morning about the spirit, the soul, and the body, and that how we want to blame the spirit, or we want to blame the soul, or we want to blame the body for our not being faithful to the things of God. Folks, I learned somewhere in the past 5 years that I can't do anything to save you. I can share the word of the cross. The word of the cross can minister to you. I can teach it. I can plant it. I can water it. But it's not until the God of peace deals with your life that you'll change. You can't pump it. You can't make it happen. I've tried. I've tried to. I've tried to preach better sermons, shorter sermons, no sermons. I've tried to do everything. Somebody just said, well, I wish you'd hurry up and get this one done. You see, you can't boast in it. You can't work your way in, Jehovah Witnesses. See, their belief is based upon knocking on doors and working their way in. You can't work your way in. You're not smart enough to get in, Greeks. You don't have the power and the religion, Jews. You can't boast about it. You know what you need to do? You need to just praise God that He chose you. When we have the opportunity, we need to raise the roof off of this place, praising God, because He chose us. And if that ever gets into us, we will. If we ever really decide that He really did choose me, that I really am saved, that I really am set apart for God, that I really do have the Holy Ghost living and abiding in me, if that ever really hits us, you see, we doubt it. We don't really believe. We just believe that we're doing this. You can't do it. You can't come to this church 10 times in a row if the Holy Ghost is not in you. I'll make you so mad. Pastor Tebow, I'll have you running around this place. I ain't doing that. Am I right? You see, you got to have the Holy Ghost. And I want you to get it settled in you that God chose you and that God chose me and that we need to just praise Him because He did. And then in verse 30, but by His doing, you need to underline that if you ever have a problem with your salvation, but by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. You guys answer me back. How are you in Christ Jesus? By His doing. That's the answer. How are you in Christ Jesus? One more time. How are you in Christ Jesus?
By His doing.
By His doing. He chose you. You didn't have a thing to do with it. Then He says, you are in, by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom. How many of you really do want answers? You really got, from time to time, you just have something to come up, and you really do need the wisdom of God in this thing. You really do need the right answer. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? From time to time, you just need the right answer. You know where it's at? That's what Paul is saying to you right here. It's in the word of the cross. It's in the gospel. It's in Christ Jesus. You cannot have the right answer unless you're in Christ Jesus. How many of you really want righteousness in your life? You want to do things right. That's all that righteousness is you're going to do things right. You want to do things right. You want to do them like God wants you to do. How many of you really do want to do things right? Come on, just don't be bashful now. Don't quit on me. All right. You know where it's at? Say the word of the cross. The word of the cross. It's in the preaching of the gospel. The church that you attend should preach you the gospel. They should touch every single area of your life. There should not be a single jot and a single tittle in your life that the preacher does not touch on and minister to you about. Your finances, your marriage, your children, your relationship, your praise, your worship, your reading of the Bibles, your prayer time, whatever that it is, your work, how you should respond to work, to your supervisor, how you supervisors should minister and oversee the people that work under you, everything. There should not be a thing that the gospel does not preach to you. Because that's the answer, that's the wisdom, that's the way to do it right. How many of you really do want to be sanctified, be used of God? That's what sanctification is being used of God. Silver, they had gold and silver in Jericho. And they went into Jericho, and you know the walls came crumbling down. And they went in, and they got all the gold and all the silver, and they took it to the temple of God, and then it became sanctified. Until it was put into the use of the temple, into the use of the house of God, it was just silver and gold. What God wants to do with us is sanctify us, is to put us into His house and put us into His use. How many of you really do want to be used of God? How many? You know where the answer is at, don't you? Say it. In the word of the cross, your gift, your calling is in here. And we're going to get into it in chapters 12. Chapters 12, we're going to talk about the gifts of God. Gifts and the callings that He puts in our lives. I'll deal with that. I'll hook that up with Romans chapter 12, where it talks about some more gifts. But you've got a gift and a calling. And folks, and if you take that thing and hide it in a ditch, hide it in a hole, when He comes, you know what He's going to do with you? How many of you really do want redemption? You really do. Not just sanctification. Now, this is redemption. You really want to know that He paid the price to redeem you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you in to Him. How many of you really want to know that? You know how you're really saved? You know how you really can know that you're saved? The word of the cross. When you read this and you say, yeah, that's the answer, that's it, that's the word of the cross activated in your life. You can really know. It will confirm in you that you are really saved. John said, we read it this morning, John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I write these things unto you, brethren, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know you really have redemption. You can know that Jesus Christ paid the price for your redemption. You're really redeemed. He done it. Now, whatever you need, the answer is not at Paul's church. The answer is not at Apollos' church. The answer is not at Peter's church. The answer is not at the church at Lafayette. The answer, don't come over here to hear Delbert preach or prophesy or watch him praise. Don't come over here so you'll get an answer to a problem. You come here because this is where God told you to come. So He told you to come here, then you'll add a vital aspect to this body. You'll be something, a member, that will function and produce and be what you're supposed to be. You'll grow and you'll cause the others to grow. But if you're not here, God didn't put you here. You're not to be planted here. Do you ever get, let me use something, maybe an example. Have you ever had a wart on your body and how it bothered you? When you go to a body and a church that you're not supposed to be at, you're not a member, you're a wart. And you bother everybody. And they're always picking at you. You ever pick at a wart? They take their fingernail clippers out and they clip on you. What is that stuff you get to put on warts, that medicine? Compound W. They anoint you with Compound W. But if you belong there, you function. You're necessary. You come and you do things and you just start ministering. You find something to do because that's the way God's made us to do. Everything on my body has some purpose. It does something. It finds to do what it's supposed to do. We were having the drama. And this was, I don't know if it was Sunday night or if it was Friday night. Steve, did you come both nights or which night was you here? Sunday night. I thought it was Sunday night. And people got up and they went out. They enjoyed the drama. And they got up and they left their little things laying all over the seats and all over the floors. What were they? Programs. And I looked around and Steve was going around picking everything up, straightening up for us. I didn't tell him to do that. He didn't ask me if he could. He's a member. That's what he wanted to do. He functioned. Can I tell you that there's something here that you're supposed to be doing? There's something that you can do. You may be a greeter. You may be able to meet people real easily. You know, I don't meet people real well. Now, I put on a good front. I have to, okay? But But I don't really meet people. I'm not a good greeter. But some people don't have any trouble at all just walking up to somebody and shaking their hand. Roger Grimm's a good greeter. He never meets a stranger. In fact, I think he knows everybody. He says everybody's his friend. And somebody will walk in the door and Roger Grimm don't have any problem going over there and greeting that person. Some of you may be greeters. And when you see visitors here, you need to go greet them. You may be a servant. I'm telling you that we need some people that will help us vacuum in the floor. This is a big building, isn't it, Cindy? And these ladies, they get up here and they need to help vacuum the floor. Maybe you can help them. But there's something for you to do. Maybe you're not supposed to bring a message in tongues. Maybe you're not supposed to prophesy or pray for people. But maybe you can push a vacuum cleaner. How'd I get into this? I can get back up here. Find the church. That's where I was at. Find the church and become a member and not a wart. Well, we'll title this one, Being a Member and Not a Wart. Okay. But you'll only find wisdom and power in the crucified Christ. Do you believe that? If you want to find power, you put the word of the cross activated in your life. It'll change you. You want to see a sign and a miracle? You look at somebody's life that has truly been touched by Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. That's better than any eyes being opened or any lame man walking. Now, I want that too. I told you this morning I did. You want to see wisdom? You really want to get the right answers to problems? It's in the word of the cross. And Paul here deals with that. I believe it was a problem then. I believe that's why people go to churches now. They're wanting wisdom. They're wanting answers. Do you really believe that people really do want answers today? And that's probably one of the reasons they go to different places. Do you? I do. Let's stand up.